And you too.
Yeah.
Good to be here. We're in Joshua chapter 14, if you want to turn to that as I get things going here. Stand as we read the Word of God together. We're reading Joshua chapter 14. Now these are the territories which the sons of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel apportioned. Apportioned them for an inheritance by the lot of their inheritance, as the Lord commanded through Moses for the nine tribes and the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half tribe beyond the Jordan, but he did not give an inheritance to the Levites among them, for the sons of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they did not give a portion to the Levites in the land, except cities to live in with their pasture lands for their livestock and for their property. Thus the sons of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they divided the land. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.' And now, behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years, from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Thus reads the word of the Lord, and you may be seated. Our text this morning is Joshua 14:9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully." In this morning's reading, we have the account of Caleb, the son of Jephthah coming before Joshua to claim the inheritance that was promised him because of his faithfulness before the Lord. He and Joshua were the only ones of the spies sent into the promised land who came back and tried to encourage the people to go right into the land despite the discouraging reports of the others. They did so because they knew that the Lord was going before them. Joshua and Caleb were faithful witnesses unto the trust in the Lord that was absent in the entirety of that first generation. Therefore, they were the only two of that otherwise faithless generation who were permitted to go into the promised land. As a direct result of Caleb's obedience, his complete trust in the Lord, and having followed the Lord fully, he was given the land that he had trod and for which he had declared his conviction that the Lord would conquer. He knew that the Lord would prevail no matter how fierce and big and numerous were the inhabitants of that land. Because Caleb was fully following the Lord and consecrated completely unto the service of Jehovah, he was honored by God in the direct promise as is set before us. We need to spend a little time looking at the effects that being fully consecrated to the Lord has in our lives. This is not for the sake of what we will get out of it, but because of the glory that our consecration will bring unto God. That is the core reality of the stand that Caleb took, along with Joshua, against all the other divisive and fear-filled and cowardly manipulations of those fellow spies that were sent into Canaan. Those other spies were consumed with the thoughts and the worries about their own safety. On the other hand, Caleb and Joshua were focused on the glory that God would receive in the victorious conquest of that land of his promise. Accordingly, when Moses was faced with the dire possibility of this same issue of faithlessness rising up in this, because these 2.5 tribes wanted the land on the other side, he posited forth the evidence of the consecration of Joshua and Caleb. Those 2.5 tribes were asking not to have their inheritance in the promised land. Therefore, Moses was livid at the possibility because of what had happened with that first faithless generation and that could take place again at this point of the seeming desertion by these 2.5 tribes. Please open to Numbers 32, 6 through 13, so we can read how Moses responded to that harrowing request. He provided the detailed accounting of how that entire first self-consumed generation was so riveted in their fears and doubts, rather than concentrating upon the glory of God that would have been revealed. In his discourse, Moses made the consecration of Caleb and Joshua the focal point of what faith in the Lord entailed. Numbers 32, 6 through 13. But Moses said to the sons of Gad and to the sons of Reuben, shall your brothers go to war while you yourself sit here? Now why are you discouraging the sons of Israel from crossing over into the land which the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the sons of Israel, so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So the Lord's anger burned in that day, and he swore, saying, none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, for they did not follow me fully, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have followed the Lord fully. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the entire generation of those who had done evil in the sight of the Lord was destroyed. Those 2.5 tribes were given the land that they desired, but only with the stipulation that they would continue forward into the promised land to help the rest of the nation in the conquest of Canaan. They were to be active participants in the bringing of the glory of the Lord God, the glory of the Lord God Jehovah through their obedient service, until they were finally released to go back to that land which they had requested. Our next example of consecration to the Lord is that of Josiah, king of Judah. At the age of 8 years old, he inherited a kingdom that was afoul with worship unto all the false deities of the people surrounding Judah. There was so much evil that was being practiced that many had even forgotten that they were supposed to be the people of the one true and living Lord God Almighty. Josiah, however, did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he ordered that the temple of the Lord would be repaired. At that point, the book of the law was discovered, and Josiah took it to heart, and the result is recorded for us in 2 Kings 23, 2 and 3. 2 Kings 23, 2 and 3. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people entered into the covenant. Josiah consecrated himself, and all the people entered into that consecration unto the Lord in the covenant of obedience to the Word of God. This covenant was in order to fully honor the Lord God Jehovah. Josiah stood before the entire nation as an example of one who wanted to walk faithfully before the Lord as the appointed and anointed king of the people of God. The remainder of that chapter details how Josiah had the idols and the false priests and the altars removed and destroyed. He did so in order for the Lord to be completely glorified by the people whom he had redeemed from their slavery in Egypt. There was a return to the teaching of the Word of God and all the service of the sacrifices that would honor Jehovah alone as he deserved. Accordingly, we want to consider a most mighty statement made by God in his word that will stand for all eternity concerning Josiah. It is found in verse 25 of this 23rd chapter of 2 Kings. What joy it would reveal if our hearts desired to be so consecrated unto the Lord to thusly bless him to the utmost in our walk on this earth. 2 Kings 23:25. And before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him. The next example of dedication that we will consider is King Asa and his commitment to the Lord. This is recorded in 2 Chronicles 15:8-15. It was after the Lord had routed the massive Ethiopian army that had been arrayed against Judah. Asa had trusted in Jehovah to be victorious so that the glory of the Lord would be witnessed in God's triumph over that immense army of men. As Asa was returning from that glorious conquest with all the spoils of war, he was met by the prophet with the words of the Lord, which Asa took sincerely to heart. There was a consecration unto God which swept throughout Judah that was fueled by the commitment of this king to the Lord God Jehovah. 2 Chronicles 15:8-15. Now when Asa heard these words and the prophecy which Azariah the son of Odeb the prophet spoke, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. He then restored the altar of the Lord which was in front of the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who resided with them. For many defected to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. And they sacrificed to the Lord that day 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. Moreover, they made an oath to the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with horns. And all Judah rejoiced concerning the oath, for they had sworn with their whole heart and had sought him earnestly, and he let them find him. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. Next, please consider the consecration of the psalmist, as in Psalm 119:55-67. Here is declared the utter love for the Lord and for all His precepts. The psalmist makes it very clear that the law of the Lord is the cord of salvation. There is that complete dedication to the glorious ways of the Lord even in the midnight hours. His heart and mind is filled with the promise of filial obedience and absolute reliance upon the Lord. This is in order to make it clearly evident that through this consecrated submission and honor, the Lord will be glorified. Psalm 119, 55 through 67. O Lord, I remember Thy name in the night and keep Thy law. This has become mine, that I observe Thy precepts. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep Thy words. I entreated Thy favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to Thy word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to Thy testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep Thy commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten Thy law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to Thee because of Thy righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all those who fear Thee and of those who keep Thy precepts. The earth is full of Thy loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord, according to Thy word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in Thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep Thy word. We now turn to the New Testament and the declaration of the Apostle Paul as proclaimed in Philippians 3, 1 through 14. In this passage, the Apostle makes it very evident that everything that we have and that we may gain on this earth is to be considered as utter rubbish in the light of the glory of God that has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Paul, formerly Saul, was the archetypal Jew of the best of the nation, of the best tribe of the nation, with the greatest teachers and learning of the Torah. Yet in spite of all those earthly advantages with which he had been bestowed, nothing compared to the magnificence of God that is Jesus Christ, both Savior and Lord. With the ever-deepening relationship that we have in Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are to press on without let up and without getting caught up in failure and without compromise. We are to be set on knowing the full measure of Jesus Christ crucified, and most especially Jesus Christ resurrected and Jesus Christ glorified. Nothing else is of any value when we become enthralled with the eternal glory of God in Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. Philippians 3, 1 through 14. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, Beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We close with the great admonition from the Apostle Paul to all of us that is contained in 1 Thessalonians 5:15-24. We have all learned parts of it, and that is good, and that is well. The key that we want to focus on this morning as we draw this discussion to a close is the fact that there is the utter necessity to be wholly consecrated unto the Lord. This is far beyond the measure of any human abilities. What we are so encouraged to constantly hold before us in our thoughts and in our actions is completely impossible apart from the obedience that is required to the Word of God through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. This absolute consecration can only be in place in us when we want to live those lives that fully please the Lord. This is established as we learn to trust Him in the course of every day, no matter how stressful or disheartening may be the events or the circumstances of that day. 1 Thessalonians 5:15-24. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. In this passage, we see the faithfulness and the dedication of Moses, of Joshua, of Caleb, of Josiah, of Asa, of the psalmist, and of the Apostle Paul. But most especially, we see the perfect consecration of our Lord Jesus Christ. His is the life that is to flow forth from our walk on this earth. He is the response to each slight and dart and arrow of outrageous fortune that pierces our flesh and being. It is only in Jesus that we can be so dedicated to the glory of God against every enemy, against every slight, against every insult, against every trial and tribulation, against every spiritual foe. Christ is our eternal victory, and he is the source of our complete assurance and our hope. In him, we find all the faithfulness and the steadfastness and the grace and the mercy and the love of God to his praise and his honor alone. So be it. And the Lord bless you. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Amen.